Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mac Show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And I love my Friday mornings, even though for some people it's Friday afternoon, but I love my Friday mornings because I always get to hang out with wonderfully cool people. And today we are adding someone new to that list of cool people, Marty. Ooh. How are you? And tell us a little bit about you so people know just how intimidated to be by all the words of wisdom you will drop.
Let me tell you, it's more that I'm intimidated. For first timers, do you haze people, like send me off to get stuff, and like we did in Scouts, 50 feet of shoreline or a sky hook or a left-handed monkey wrench? I'm anticipating some severe hazing during the show.
Listen, now that you mention it, Marty,
notes. A lot of feet of shoreline.
I'm a work as a faculty member at an institution, so you know it's a dying profession that I'm in, have been doing podcasting on and off since 2006, and run a series of podcasts. Now that you can see or find out about it, thepodtalk.net. I enjoy being on these shows. I've picked up on that in the last year, and I appreciate the invitation to join this show in particular.
Well, it's great to have you here. It's pretty great. And for those of you that want to have a little bit more about all the connection here, we all know each other. Well, Marty, Patrice, Marty.
No, we know each other.
Oh, we've met. Yeah.
We've met.
I know. I realized right after it was too late that you guys already knew each other. Yeah, we've all known each other for a long time. And those of us that have been able to go to MacStock have all hung out in person. Yep. Yeah. So anyhow, Marty, welcome. It's great to have you here. And, what's the right thing to say? Fresh blood.
Thanks for the time change, too, by the way. That sure. Made it convenient for me to be able to show up.
Yeah, we actually retroactively changed the entire system for the United States to accommodate today.
Yes.
Just for you.
Thanks.
Sure, thanks. Yeah. Dave, how are you?
Doing great. Good to be here. It's Friday. Got a day off and I'm here to hang out with you guys. We're going to have some pretty amazing weather today. It's going to be like 78 degrees Fahrenheit. I can't believe it for early March here. So I'm going to get outside today and enjoy that. And looking forward to talking about, there's some pretty good news here this week.
Wait, what?
Yeah. Day off? What's that?
Yeah,
that's we're in the United States. You don't get days off.
Exactly.
Take one, you do.
You get fired. That's the only thing you get.
That's just crazy talk. Well, anyhow, speaking of crazy talk, Chuck, how are you?
I thank you for that segue. I love it. I am great, you know. But I'm with Patrice. What's this day off thing? Sunday afternoon from 4 to 5, I get an hour off. But other than that,
but now that we know, we will find a way to fill that hour for you.
Exactly.
So thank you very much.
Not crazy talk, Patrice. How are you?
I'm not so sure about that. No, I'm good. I'm good. It's been interesting week for me, but not gonna get into that. I'm happy it's Friday. I'm happy we are doing the Mac Show. That's all I'm going
to
say.
I'm happy to. I also want to let you know, I love that you have your flag hanging straight now instead of kind of crooked. Because for a while, it was like one of the corners was crooked.
No, that was on purpose, actually. But I switched it out. There used to be an American flag there, and I switched it out because I was like, yeah, no.
Totally get it. And it looks good. Yeah.
Set. No, good. Weather is not so nice as Dave. Like we're at like 40 something degrees and rain. So,
oh, are we in the same city right now?
Could be.
Seriously, could be. People will talk, and I say let them.
Yeah, exactly.
We have to.
So
we have to prepare, though. There's high winds and tornadoes possible tonight. So.
You know, last time I was in Chicago, there were high winds and tornadoes.
Yes, there was. You got stuck here for a bit.
I did. I had to go into the one of the tornado shelter spaces in the airport.
Wow. Okay.
After I dropped
What did you get from Chicago? High winds and tornadoes.
And COVID.
And COVID. Oh, no.
Yeah. The tornadoes were a lot more fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Down for the they were touching down at the airport, and
they did.
And you know, they have those massive plate glass windows, mm-hmm. and that you could see them flexing, and they're all going bum 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 from the force from the tornado.
Wow, crazy!
And so, of course, a handful of people walked right up to them, even though we were supposed to be back in the storm shelter area.
Oh my god!
Yeah. We have some
really Darwin Award winners, obviously.
Of course.
yeah.
At least candidates. I mean, they didn't die, I guess. So.
No, but they wanted to get in the polling, mm-hmm. and they mm-hmm. did a great job.
Okay.
Yeah. Speaking of great jobs, Dave does a great job of collecting news stories for In Touch with iOS, and then is so generous that he lets us clip from his show notes. So thank you for that, Dave.
Happy as always.
And but that said, our first story is actually not from your show notes, because it's news that dropped this morning shortly before we started recording. And this is the news that Apple is adding encryption to RCS, and so this whole thing played out super fast as far as news goes.
News.
Yes. So, So what happened was this morning, U.S. time, the GSM Association announced that it has a standard for end-to-end encryption support in RCS. And immediately after the GSM Association made their announcement, Apple announced that they are adding end-to-end encryption support for RCS.
What a coincidence.
Now, Apple has said that they have not included end-to-end encryption in RCS messaging because it wasn't part of the standard. And Google had been pressuring Apple to use their proprietary encryption, and Apple was like, nope, we will do a standard, but we will not do your thing.
Yeah.
So here's my take. There are two messages that Apple is sending out of this. First is that they're serious about supporting end-to-end encryption in RCS, and so they're staying true to their word that once there was a standard, that they would move to adopt it. The other thing they're doing is thumbing their nose at Google.
Yeah, a little bit. Probably not very much. I don't think Google cares. I'm like, okay, fine.
Yeah, I mean, Google would have liked for Apple to adopt their standard.
I mean, do we know whether what the GSM has announced isn't exactly what Google already implemented?
We don't. Well, I don't know. So.
Yeah, me neither. News to me.
Yeah, I would have to go and do a lot of research and then read other people's analysis, because I'd read all the documentation and be like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I said news in air quotes. Like, it's not a surprise. I mean, Apple wants end-to-end encryption. Apple, back in the day, as you said, even said, hey, we're going to add it as soon as it's part of the standard. I'm pretty sure in the background, they basically heavily pushed and said, hey, we should have this because this is important, and worked with everybody, and now we have it. So,
Apple is part of the GSM Association.
Of course, they are.
So, course, they were instrumental in this.
Yeah, so now we have it. Is there any timeline when it will be available?
Not that I know of.
So Apple basically just said, we'll have it.
Some
point. Okay.
And since the announcement just happened today, it's
I mean, it's possible we get a beta next week and it's already included. I mean, since they worked on it together, there's a good chance that they've already implemented it, just, I mean, also for testing mm-hmm. and to see that it works and all of that. So, yeah, there's a chance. Yeah.
So, there you go. Anyone else have any thoughts on this?
Oh, it's good to see. Glad, I mean, that's why Apple was so reluctant to allow RCS for all these years.
No, that's probably not the reason.
Well, not one of the reasons, but
just... the reason they told us.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it just builds on Apple's desire to maintain privacy. Yes. And yeah. their users' privacy. So it felt like there was just an open window there when they said, okay, we're going to do RCS, but then putting encryption on top of it, I think fits with their philosophy in terms of user information.
Yeah.
I'm reading through the notes in the article, or at least the comments in the article, and it's just been, and it's just come out, but people have comments like, excellent. Now E2 EE RCS can migrate away from needing Google to commit to their own resources to offer it to providers. So it does seem like that might be a direction.
And Marty, you took the words right out of my mouth. You know, this is just another example of Apple staying true to their, I guess, their vision. And if you want to be cynical about it, it's Apple staying true to one of its selling points, yeah. and that's privacy. But I don't think the two are mutually exclusive.
And I mean, the next thing that's going to happen is the UK is going to say, well, but we need a backdoor, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh. Yes. Oh, bless our hearts. Yeah. All right. Well, then, how about, Marty, we kind of spotlight you since you have a Vision Pro.
Yeah.
And you have already checked out the new Vision Pro movie that Apple has released. The immersive Metallica concert.
Yes.
So
go ahead. Yeah, go ahead, Chuck. No, this is all because Chuck said I better do it.
That's fair.
Because he won't purchase a Vision Pro. And I'm not a Metallica fan, as I've said. I'm more of a Grateful Dead, Talking Heads, B-52, even Frank Zappa sort of person. So metal has never been in my genre. So I watched it, and I watched it primarily for what does this look like on a concert setting? And mm-hmm. it was very cool. You could see the camera position placements because it was shot in a stadium, and they had cameras on rigs that were on wires that were moving across the stage. They had some stationary cameras on stage. They didn't have people walking around with cameras, so that wasn't in any of the shots. So it was really pretty cool. You know, walking down the hall to the concert and having Lars blow cigar smoke in my face is probably not exactly my idea of a good time, but it did have that sort of spatial aspect to it. I don't want to do too many spoilers here, but it is different than what I've seen come out on Vision Pro and spatial videos before. And I think it becomes a template for how mm-hmm. they could be streaming full concerts. Three songs interspersed with a narrative around the experience of being in the band. I did find out that Metallica is the key to the world. That comes from the lead singer. So there's some cool stuff in it. I definitely think it will shape. I would love to see lots of concerts done this way.
Okay.
I mean, I haven't watched it yet. I'll probably do that tonight, but I'm very interested. I mean, I'm with you, Marty. It's not. I mean, I'm not much into music anyway, but it's not my music, Metallica. I mean, they have some good songs, but it's not my thing. But it's interesting to see Apple experiment with different musicians and different ways of doing the content. I mean, they've done now There was the Weeknd video. There was, what was it, Concert for One, I think is a series they have, and I hope there will be more content. I'm assuming if it's a series. I mean, right now we only have one video, but I assume there will be more.
It's a very short series.
Yeah, we had the Alicia Keys originally even.
Alicia Keys, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm probably forgetting something. We're
starting to see on Vision Pro other providers that are providing spatial. So Primo is an app that has a, I forget what the band's name is. It's a bluegrass band that's all shot in spatial photography. So, and they charged $4 for it. It's a 16-minute video. And if we can get more providers with more spatial photography on it outside of waiting for what Apple throws at us, that'll be very cool.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, I really like that space of experimenting what you can do with it. Trying to figure out what's the best way or what's one of many ways how this new device, this new format could be used for creative things. And I think that's really cool. And some work and some don't. And we've seen that happen. Like The Weeknd was uncomfortably close, I think, sometimes. At least I felt that way.
That Ray one was really uncomfortably close. It's like, like this.
So that's it. I think it's just interesting. And I mean, we're seeing like different things, longer things, shorter things. I think they're trying to figure out like what works and what doesn't. So I'm happy.
Yeah.
Let's keep going, Apple and others. I mean, I'm actually happy others are doing it because I mean, Apple has a intrinsic motivation to do that because they want to sell more Vision Pro. So That's good on one hand, but also limits a little bit. But if others are willing to do that and see a market in doing so, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Patrice, I'm kind of like you. I feel like Apple needs to do this for the Vision Pro because it's a new environment. It's a new tool. And so they need to underwrite, if you will, people experimenting with it and creating. Because I think that's going to then make other filmmakers and other production houses that are much more well-heeled to do full-blown projects. And, you know, and not just concerts, but, you know, some of the other things we've been seeing in these short videos. So I feel like it's, once more, it's just one, the evolution of the Vision Pro as a device and as a tool for productivity, storytelling, entertainment. Pick your thing. It just didn't pop out fully formed because it was so new.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure Apple needs to. I think Apple wants to. I mean, this is very much in the DNA from this Steve Jobs era. Like, Apple's always been very music-centric in some respect. So this is right up their alley to work with, like, musicians and do creative things and do cool things. I mean, they even do it internally for just their own employees sometimes. So it makes sense, but yeah, it's still good to see that they're not like, okay, we're going to do one or two things and that's it. They're willing to spend the money to experiment to see what works, and they are in it for the long haul, like, no matter what people are saying.
I mean, I think they're like that with Apple TV, Apple TV Plus, all the content that's on there. I mean, they're really pushing that hard, and they're getting new content constantly on there. This is just another extension of it. And engaging us Vision Pro owners that you've got some amazing immersive video that this has the capability of. And I mean, I tell you, some of those videos just blew me away. And yeah, I can't wait to see them toggle, and that's going to be really cool.
I want to point out that both Chuck and Marty mentioned the same songs as good songs from Metallica. So.
Entertainment.
Yeah.
Different order, but the same songs.
It starts with Whiplash, goes to One, and then goes Enter Sandman with stuff in the middle. So they have that quiet, kind of more relaxed song in the middle.
As far as they record, down.
If Metallica can ever be described as relaxed.
I mean, in the video, you get to see a lot of tongues from the audience, basically.
Are you sure you're watching a Kiss concert or a different type of movie?
Yes.
No, it's a lot of people doing the horns and sticking their tongues out and screaming.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, that's their thing.
Just make Chuck
wasn't in the background.
Vision Pro porn.
How do you know, Marty? How do you know?
Background. He's in the front row.
Exactly.
There is video proof of Chuck as a front row.
Oh yes, there is.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Like yep. the horns that, and hey, everything.
If you're gonna do it, why not get right down there where you can see yeah. everything that's going on and be part of it? Yeah.
Yeah, his sleeveless T-shirt with the spiked neck collar. I just can't wait to see Chuck.
No, you know what, Marty? It's sort of evolved, but whenever I go to a concert where I'm going to have that opportunity to be on the floor, I always wear a red shirt.
Okay.
Because if there are going to be any video of it, I can pick myself out because nobody wears red shirts down in the pit. But
do you wear the tattoo sleeves too, or yeah.
No, Mohawk?
No, I go looking just like this, except with a red shirt. So,
although now I've got this image in my head of Chuck going to Spirit Halloween and buying this big mohawk thing, you know, where the hair stands up like I don't know, 18 inches high, puts this cap thing on, but it has a string that you tie into your chin to hold it in place. And it's just fracking awesome, this version I have.
Max Stock. We'll get one for Max Stock.
Oh, yeah.
I do have a question for all three of our Vision Pro owners here. And actually, in the chat, Bob Beach is asking a question that's similar to where I'm going. Mm-hmm. Here's my question. Do you think that all of this Vision Pro specific video content that Apple is producing is helping drive people to buy a Vision Pro? Or is it something that's helping people who have a Vision Pro help validate the purchase or feel better about their purchase?
Neither.
Okay. then
I mean, it's
fill me in.
I mean, I don't think anybody buys the Vision Pro just for the content. I mean, it might be like somewhere on the list very low where it's like, oh yeah, there's really cool content or whatever. I don't think that's the major reason to buy it. I don't think Apple does it because of that. I think Apple really, I mean, they're invested in the platform. They believe in the platform, but they are also a very creative company. They want to do cool things. And I think this is one way where they can let that creativity out that they have and say, hey, now that we have this, what can we do? Let's try that. Let's see what we can do and come up with new ideas. And that's, I think that's why.
So this is more like a demonstration platform. Here's the things we're doing with it, so you have ideas of what you can do with it.
Yeah, maybe a little bit like that as well. Yes, but as I said, I don't think Apple sees it really as a demonstration. They see it as, hey, this is something cool where we can do cool things we want to do, basically.
It's for the pro curious, I would say. Very few of them going, oh, I've got to get one of these things. Uh-huh. I think if you go into a store, you can do the demo. It would be fun to go in today just to see who's lined up to do demos, if they are. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're going to want to see for those who want to see the video, they can go in and do that. But it then, you know, when that's off, there's other things that they mm-hmm. can see about the platform. So they're getting informed. They're not getting money out of their pockets necessarily.
Yeah.
So you have a momentum around a brand. Yeah. And, you know, future versions of it might be more affordable for them and they can see the transition.
And every little thing that Apple does adds one more brick to that foundation. And eventually people will be like, okay, there's now enough things that I'm interested in that, especially maybe there is a cheaper version or whatever, or they find other ways to get a Vision Pro. We're like, okay. Well, I've collected enough of those things that I'm interested in that maybe it's worth it.
Yeah, and they've done some improvements too. I mean, I keep talking about the virtual display for the Mac. I use that all the time, and the guest mode, that was a big nuisance. Yeah. Being able to give someone to use your Vision Pro, and now it's pretty much a handoff for the most part.
Yeah. Well, it will be.
It's only in the beta. It's getting better.
No, it's only in the beta.
Right. Right, in the beta. Yeah. Right. Well, yes. I did it for my wife because I was able to hand it off to her, and she got to watch the videos without me having to go through the whole rigmarole of making, setting it up a guest profile and all that. So it'll continue to evolve and continue to improve. But I agree with all you guys. It's not a pro device, but it is a pro device. Not everybody is going to want. I mean, especially at that price point. But you know, you got to commit to something that as you're involved. If you like the technology, you want to check it out. I mean,
Not everybody wants an iPhone, an iPad, an Apple Watch, a MacBook.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Apple people here.
Yes.
You know, but I think it's interesting that we're even having this conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah, except for Chuck, yeah.
And Jeff, too, but...
You know, why do we have...
Chuck's Vision Pro, then we can work on mine.
Yes.
Priorities.
But why do we need to categorize or compartmentalize this device? Why can't it just stand on its own as being what it is for what it is? I'm going to go the whole way back to the original Mac. You know, they showed a couple things that could be done with it. There were very, very, very few tools. People could see what could be done with it and what they could do with it. And Marty, Dave, correct me if I'm wrong, but right out of the gate, if I remember, or not very long after, you could take spatial videos with your iPhone.
Yep.
And then
port
them over. So there was that tool right there. Was it 8 months later?
Yeah, I think it was right only in iOS 18 that we got that, yes.
Right.
Yeah, but, you know, so I keep going back and thinking, as much as it's fun to talk about it and it's fun to tease each other, but I'm afraid that at times we're, even to ourselves, we're limiting what the Vision Pro is or can be.
Mm-hmm. I see that sometimes. I mean, listen to all of our podcasts. Like, I listen to all of them, and I'm sometimes I see, like, especially when I'm listening to a show that you did, I'm like, I think the way we are talking about something influences what other people that are not so deep into it think about it. So sometimes when we're saying, oh, we're not seeing the killer feature, or oh, it's too expensive, whatever, because that's how we feel, maybe. Other people just take that and don't reflect on it, and I think you're right. We should take the platform as it is. I mean, sure, it has to prove itself. Apple is figuring it out. We're all figuring it out. The world is figuring it out in general, not just for the Vision Pro, but for all devices like it. I see massive potential, and I think it is already, for me personally, a really great device. Like, I didn't expect it to be that way, honestly. I was like, I was willing to spend the money, even if I at the end of the day didn't use it. I was like, okay, I'll sell it again, fine. But I never even once had that feeling that I didn't get something out of it. I really enjoyed it. I use it daily. Literally.
I want people to think about it themselves. I want people to go to the Apple Store and do the demo, because the demo will turn your head. If the demo doesn't turn your head, then you're hopeless and just go crawl in a box now, because can I do those things with it yet? No, but I aspire to. And I aspire to maybe take advantage of things that aren't even there yet.
Mm-hmm.
But the tool itself is, and of course it's a demo, so of course it's going to look good. Yeah. But it looks more than just good. It looks phenomenal.
It does. Mm-hmm. It does. It's only getting better. I mean, now we get Apple Intelligence as well. And I mean, given that Apple just released that, I'm pretty sure we will get a pretty major Vision OS 3, because otherwise they would have just saved that up for June.
That makes sense. All right, before we move on to another topic, I do want to hit what the third asked in the chat, which is, are they, meaning Apple, throwing things at it, meaning Vision Pro, to see what sticks and see what people like and focus on that?
Short answer, yes.
Short answer is yes. We didn't know what the watch was until it emerged as a health device.
Yes.
And, you know, this has already demonstrated itself as a productivity device. And, but a lot of people aren't going to put that thing on their head just to work on a Word document. They're going to look at, well, yeah, some folks will, but not Patrice. A lot. Yeah, Patrice will.
Even don't. Even but, I don't.
So the entertainment piece of it, I think, is the other arm of possibilities with it.
Yes. 100%. No, it's, I mean, as you said, Apple Watch. Remember the Friends feature and the walkie-talkie feature and a million other things mm-hmm. that we had originally that, like, nobody even remembers, I think, at this point, or almost nobody. Like, yes, Apple, I mean, even with the iPhone, that's what new products do. They go out with an idea and think they have it, and then the market tells them what the real idea is and whether it's a good idea or not. Even for Apple, the market doesn't change just because they have all the money in the world and probably the smartest people in the world at this point.
I can't remember the last time I used a walkie-talkie feature.
I used walkie-talkie for a while and used it a lot, but it had a really good use case. And and I was on a regular basis helping pick up a family member's kid from school, and they had an Apple Watch, so it was much easier to, as I pulled up and found a place to park on a side street, just to walkie-talkie to them and tell them where I was.
Yeah. But technically, you can also do that differently. And as I said, it emerged as a health and safety tool at some point.
Yeah. And but yeah, once I wasn't doing the pick up the kid at school thing, then I stopped using walkie-talkie. Mm.
You know, walkie-talkie, I tried it once with my son because he was the only person that had an Apple Watch that was in my family and network. And I said, wow, this is cool. And he goes, yeah, Dad, let's not use it. I don't want you that much connected to me, you know. And that was the kind of creep factor for it for me as an app or as a service. So, yeah.
Yeah, and same thing will happen with the Vision Pro. There's probably things that are in this version and or in this version of Vision OS even that will go away.
Well, Apple does have people on staff whose job it is to look at features and decide what should be cut.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's a thing. So, all right. Another story I want to hit real quick is news that came out this morning. Holy crap, I just realized, Dave, I don't think we've done anything from your show notes today. Yeah, I blame Apple.
Perfectly fine.
It's perfect. Blame Apple, yes.
Yeah, so we did get confirmation that there is, like, official confirmation that there is a season 4 of Ted Lasso coming.
I did share that.
Huh?
I did share that with in our chat.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
Not that it matters.
I need to give you credit for something, man. Just anyhow. So Jason Sudeikis. Wow. Jason Sudeikis. Holy crap! I tried what three times and still didn't get it right.
Yep.
I need more tea. Wow.
Just say Jason.
Jason.
Yeah. Ted.
Who plays Ted. Ted Lasso? Oh my gosh, Patrice, my tea tastes so good too. He confirmed that season 4 is being written right now.
Right.
So when someone who is deeply involved in the show, I believe he's a producer of the show as well.
Yes, yeah.
Says, this is what we are doing. Then that makes it super official. I mean, we've
that is
had,
official. Yes.
I'm doing air quotes, confirmation. Well, from no, other
it's,
people.
It's official. No, I was on Facebook and this morning, and then Apple TV actually posted it and said that it's coming.
Yeah.
So
he wouldn't talk about it unless he got the green light from Apple.
Like, yeah, of course.
Right. Yes.
Well,
So what this means for me is, this is going to sound weird, even though I love this series so much, I got distracted at one point, and I'm only partway through season three.
Wow. Mm. Okay. Wow.
I know.
It's 2 years ago.
Like the, wow.
Right? Like the last episode that I remember seeing.
And the fourth season was really good, and you missed it. Wow. Okay.
Right.
Jeff, that reminds me of another show you didn't watch for 20-something years. So.
Oh, and Retro right? Rewatch.
You know, if I wait long enough, we could do episodes of Retro Rewatch just on the second half of season three of Ted Lasso.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah. But no, I love the show, and
it is awesome.
I need to finish it so that I'm ready for when. Yeah. At this rate, I will finish season three just in time to start season four.
Probably. You mean season five, yeah. The new season is five, right?
No, it's four.
It's four? Season, okay. Season Sorry, four. I thought it was five. Four. Okay, then never mind. I mean, we had quasi confirmation already because some people that the actors and locations and whatever apparently have already been booked. So that was basically a confirmation. But we got some details even from Jason because there were rumors and those were not confirmed that somehow there would be a women's soccer team, football Yay. Team. And he confirmed it. And he's like, Ted is going to coach them.
I always wondered, is he, you know, the talk was, is he going to be, is it, first there's going to be a season four. Mm-hmm. Then is he's going to be in it? Is he not going to be in it? And this might upset him and upset people. What else does he have to do in terms of his career? Take the money, Jason. And go with it.
And I think more than a producer doing it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay. But there's not I don't think there's a lot else going on in his career at this point. So he's, I think getting back to work is a good idea. Yeah.
Like writing, for other shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's probably still writing. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the word got out fast because he was on a pretty popular podcast, The New Heights, which is the two football players, Travis and Jason Kelsey. It's very enjoyable, and it's become just a phenomenon right now. So I think that was a good platform for him to really get that word out pretty quickly.
Yeah. And to be fair, when season three in this case ended, it was never canceled. They said, right now we think we wrapped it up, but they literally said we're going on hiatus. They didn't cancel. They kept the door open to say, if you have something to say, we'll say it. So now they do.
Yeah, and now they do.
Yeah. I'm excited. I hope it's. I mean, since they're just writing it, I mean, late 2026 maybe can get this.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. All right. So there you go. Ted Lasso season four is on the way. And even though I got distracted and never finished season three, I'm actually super excited for season four. So maybe now I have incentive to get through the rest of season three. And when I say get through, I don't mean that in a negative way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just watch the rest of the season. And I'm sure I will love every episode.
And we're going to tease you about it until you do.
That's
fair. Because that's what we do.
That's fair. I mean, look what happened the last time I got teased a lot about boxing a show.
Oh,
we ended up starting a new podcast.
That's so true.
Did?
Yep. Hey, so Patrice, I know I tell everyone this all the time, and I will continue to remind people periodically that you... a while ago did an amazing job of modernizing our live stream and our live chat. And that's pretty awesome. So would you mind telling people about the live chat and how they can take advantage of that?
Yeah, very easy, very simple. We use a really cool source tool for that. It's also Fediverse enabled if you want to join, if you care about that. live.britishtechnetwork.com. That's where you go. That's where you watch the shows when we record it live. We do that for this very show every Friday, 4 p.m. UK time, and you have to convert that to your time zone, whatever that is. And keep in mind, especially right now, we're in that weird period of the year that happens twice a year, where the US has switched already to daylight savings, or in like October, I think, switched back. That's the other time that happens. But Europe is usually a bit behind. Isn't it always like that? Europe is always behind everything. So also with daylight savings changes. And so you have to, yeah, just go to a website and convert it if that matters to you. And then, yeah, that's it. You go there. There's the live video. There's the live chat next to it. You start typing. You get assigned a funny name. Sometimes they're funny. Brave Ramen, like I see, Chuck for example, Joyner. Here.
Jeff Gamet.
Yeah. Yeah. Weird. Bob Beach, the third. No. Yeah. But you can change your name. Simply click on the purple thing up top, purple button, change name, change it to whatever you want. And that's it. That's literally all of it. You can start typing. But if you are listening to us in like the recorded form, podcast player, like YouTube, website, wherever you got that content, of course, can't join the live chat, but you can still see what we talked about. You can still click on the links, like Chuck, for example, posted a short promo. I think about the Apple thing, the Apple Metallica thing, I guess, for on YouTube, stuff like that. So there's the cool thing, links, everything is in the chat. We have a transcript. Head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. Select a date in the calendar. For today, for example, it would be Friday, March 14th, 2025. And if you click on that, you will see everything that we talked about today.
Awesome. Thank you for doing that, Patrice. You rock.
You're welcome.
Okay, so time for some cool things. And Dave, you dropped the first cool thing in. So tell us about this.
This is from Satechi. They finally came out with a hub. This is it here. The hub that fits under the Mac Mini M4. So it's a perfectly nice sized little hub here. It's got this plug on the back that reaches perfectly to the back of the Mac Mini. So it plugs right in, hooks it up. Nice cool thing is it does have an NVMe drive holder in here that, and I can throw it up here. I got a 2 terabyte drive in there. And
nice.
It gives you that. On the front, it has, unfortunately, I that's the one downfall of this. It has the USB-A ports. Two of them are 10 gigabyte, and then one of them is just a standard 2.0, which I don't know why you really would need that. I mean, but okay. So that has that there, and then it has an SD card reader here as well. The one thing they did do is they, you know, everybody complaining about where the power button is on the M4 Mac Mini, they put a little notch here. So now when it sits flat, you can stick your finger in here and get to the power button. So instead of having to lift the Mac Mini to do it, it's not a bad little device. Like I said, some of the downfalls, like I said, is just the USB A. I mean, I bought some high speed of the USB A to USB C adapters. So if you want to plug those into the front, you can get any of your USB C devices plugged in very easily. The Mac Mini has the 3 ports on the back and 2 ports in the front. So, but this plugs into the back, so you want to plug it into the higher speed port. But it's $99. So we got this on a pre-sale, and Marty and I both own this, we got it on the pre-orders, and so it's not a bad device, but a few shortcomings. But overall, well, I think it's worth it.
Nice. It's okay. If I had a Mac Mini, I would probably be dropping $99 right now.
Luckily, went during pre-sale, yeah, got a deal of 20% off, so I got it for a pretty good
even
price.
Better.
I got one. Dave and I were chatting up about it when they first announced it, and I got one. The only complaint I have about it is the way I have my Mac Mini sitting on top of it. I've got a couple of things plugged into USB-Cs in the front, and it will shift around. I mean, it would have ruined the form factor to put some little guides on the side, metal
they
guides
did.
Coming up.
But you're right, it does move around pretty easily.
Yeah.
They have these little things on here, but it's not gripping as it should. Maybe some third party we can think of. Huh?
Yeah. Or just stick some tape on it or Velcro or something on it to keep it solid. But
So, good stuff.
All right. Okay. So... hold on. Let me get my list back up here. Okay, Marty, you are next.
Okay. I'm going to share something with you that I got, and it might have been out. It's a great product for me. I was given the task of having to take minutes at our regular meetings. And I am a not so good typist, and I don't pay attention. I get easily distracted. So I purchased this one of these things from Plaud, Plaud. And there are actually two of them. And one of them will MagSafe right on the back of your phone. And it will sit there. And it is a remarkable recording device and AI service. So I can just hit the button, put my phone down on the desk, and I have the minutes open, the agenda open. And I can put in things that I need to put in it. And then I take the transcript from what Plaud creates for me and pop it all into ChatGPT with a blank copy of what the agenda is and ask it to produce meeting minutes. And it does it within, 5 minutes or less. I've got the perfect set of meeting minutes. And some of the stuff I read through, it's like, yeah, that happened. I wouldn't have put that in the meeting minutes. Sometimes I have to edit it, but then it's other things like I would never have thought to put that in the minute meetings. And this is a good thing that we have now have a record of it. So I export that and send it off to the rest of the faculty. They That's also have helpful. A device that this, they also have a device that this was the note, the one that slaps on the back of your phone. And this was the, this is the pin. And, you can put it in, clip it on your pocket. They show it as being used a lot. Well, I think the market they're trying to push is doctors who are going from bed to bed. They can turn this thing on. They can take their notes and then they can go to the next bed, do whatever they're going to do, take notes on the patient. And all of that winds up being connected to them to be able to use for whatever notes they're going to document. So it's about, they range between $150 and $180, depending on what you're getting with them. I think the new version has just, or the new version came out, which is a little bit of why I was attracted to it. But primarily because I had eight other people tell me, it's your semester to do notes for our meetings. And I was like, oh.
Just saved you a lot of time.
Yeah. My notes would probably be a bunch of doodles.
And then you wouldn't remember the order of things anyway.
Absolutely not. We have so many episodes of Retro Rewatch that show I consistently cannot get the right order.
I love the idea of Jeff doing sketchnoting of a meeting.
Well, actually, that would be fun.
It's. I mean, it would be a thing.
It'd be more entertaining than the meeting, I'm sure.
For a lot of meetings, yes.
They're like sketches from trials or sketches from murder scenes.
I mean, where's the difference to a meeting sometimes?
Yeah, right.
Right. Yeah.
Or one of these shows, actually.
Oh, I hope not.
Yeah.
Well, in murder scenes, maybe, yeah.
All right. Well, on that happy note, Patrice, tell us about your cool thing.
So my cool thing is a really cool app for your Mac. So you assume, I mean, for your MacBook, let's put it this way. If you have a mobile Mac of some sort of MacBook, I mean, most, like the latest versions of macOS have some really nice battery management features included. So like it doesn't charge it fully if it doesn't have to, and all of those, like it charges at certain times. You can basically tell it, hey, I need 100% or I only need 80, stuff like that. So it depends a little bit on your Mac what it does, which is nice for most people, but I think for people like us, probably not enough. We want a little bit more control. We want to like more settings, more options, better options, and so on. And that's what Al Dente is for. There's a free version available. If you want it, it only does charging at the charge limiter and discharge. But if you pay a little bit more, there's a subscription, 11.49. It says euros for me, so I guess because I'm in Europe, or it's a European company. I don't know. 11.49 for the pro version, or you can buy it just lifetime, 23.99, or part of setup, by the way, to get that. And what's really cool is it manages your bed. Like, it basically takes over from macOS. It even asks you to disable the macOS features, and it takes over and gives you all the details. Charge limits, where does power go, what apps are using what. You can do a calibration run where it will go to, it basically charges to 100%, then goes down to 15, then goes back to 100%, stays there for an hour, and then goes back to like whatever limit you've set. So like it's really, really nice, works really well, really nice design as well. Super helpful, I just love it. And you can, it's really a lot of like configuration options. It has heat protection. I don't know how they figured that out. They control the MagSafe LED, so they can basically set it to what it's doing, no matter what the charge level is. You can at any point just say, hey, top it up. I need to go somewhere. There's a shortcut support if you want to control it from other apps. Like it's literally like it just does all of it. And as I said, it's actually not expensive for what it does. And if you have setup, then you basically already got it. So you paid for it already. So highly recommend that.
Very cool. Huh. All right. Looks like I have another download happening.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. All right. Chuck, it is now your turn.
So I'm still sort of mining the CES visit for some of the cool stuff I saw. And ironically, Marty stole one right out from under me that I was going to talk about today. Because I also saw Plod at CES and was blown away. And I tell you, if I were still in a physical meeting situation, because now I'm working from home, but if I were still there, I would have bought this in a second. And I still may buy it because it just was, they answered all the questions, all the concerns that I might have. And they even have a wearable version. So Marty, great pick, you know, although it was a little rude for your first time here to steal one out from under me. So
it's no stealing, whoever's first is first.
Yeah. Well, so I wanted to take us back to something though that, I saw a while back. I visited with them this year again, and that's from Rolling Square. This is a USB charger cable that, oh, okay. Marty has it right there. Thank you, Marty. I don't know. We're brothers from another mother or something. There you go. It's very popular. This is USB to USB-C, but you also can go USB-C to Lightning. You can go USB-C to USB-A. It's 100. It's 100 watt charging capable. It's one of those things you just throw in your pack, and you're always going to be able to connect pretty much anything you want to anything else you want. First of all, they're great people, but this is also a quality product. A little bit higher price than maybe you would get for some other things, but you've got all these cables rolled into one, and it's super durable and super well built. So this is something I always have in my pack because inevitably I've forgotten the cable or I just don't have exactly the cable I need. And I can usually make things happen with this. They come in various lengths. The one Marty just held up is the small one, which is the one I have, because in those situations, it's not supposed to be a long-term permanent replacement. It's just something that will let you connect what you need to wherever you are. So I tell you, go check them out. Again, great company, great products.
I have one of their longer cables.
Mm-hmm.
My son and I do a podcast called Gear Up and Go. And he found this device and said, Dad, we're going to talk about it. You need to get one. And so I went ahead and got one. And then he said, after I got it, he's like, did that cable come in yet? Meaning, when are you giving it to me? So I've purchased, it's cheaper than paying for his therapy. Come on. So I purchased another one. So now I purchased this twice and find it really useful.
Well, I got both here. I got this really long one too. This is a square as well, and that's a got to be a good 10 feet than the small one. So.
All right, Patrice, do you have a square cable yet? Because if not, apparently you need to get one or face the ridicule similar to what we give Chuck for not having Vision Pro.
No.
All right. Well,
You're asking for it, Patrice.
No,
you have
don't
been
care.
warned.
Don't care.
All right. Okay, so my turn. My pick is going to not sit well with some people, I believe. And I am picking Severance Season 2. There's one episode left, and I know a lot of people have been talking about how they're just not happy with Season 2 at all. They don't like it. They think that it's kind of jumped the shark. Or for whatever reason, people don't like it. But for me, holy forking shirtballs. Each episode in season two is better than the one before. And I think the writing is brilliant. I think it's super cool that they've been willing to take some very big risks with things that they're doing in the show. I mean, they've done some, I think, some very amazing things, and it's been a very compelling and interesting story.
Yes. The
And I did
murder
watch this.
mystery alone was crazy good.
Yeah, I mean, it's everything in this is just holy crap. And see, Bob Beach is saying, "No way, Jeff." Yeah, I know Bob Beach is not a fan of season two, but here's the thing. Bob Beach, I bet there's a show that you're loving that I just can't get into. And this is how nature balances things out.
Yes.
So,
Wait,
there
he
you
gets
go.
eaten and no.
Yeah. Like Bob Beach is saying, needless backstory, hardly any plot development, arty farty camera work.
I love that.
And Bob Beach, I lovingly disagree. I think the
Yes.
backstory is actually very important for
Yes.
where they're going with the story. I think that the plot that they've been developing, they set it out in front of us at the beginning of the season, and they've been filling it in so we understand what they gave us. And I know what you're what ep exactly which episode you're talking about with the arty farty camera work. Which I thought was actually really interesting and very well done. They let
Great.
their cinematographer direct that episode, and I
We
thought she
love
did
that.
a really good job,
Yes.
which also happens to be the big backstory episode. Anyhow, there's one episode left, and I did watch this week's episode last night,
I haven't yet.
and well, then, Patrice, instead of spoilers, I will say when you get to the end of the episode, you will be so frustrated that you don't have a time machine to jump ahead a week and immediately watch
Okay,
episode 10.
I can deal with that. I waited
So,
27 years for you to watch a show, so I can do
your patience is amazing.
Wow.
And that's also fair. You did wait 27 years for me to watch a show.
I mean, to be fair, we didn't know each other back
That's
then, but
only a line that mothers can say.
Yes, that's
I
true.
waited 27 years for
Yes.
whatever.
That's true.
Well, Patrice may not be my mother, but she is a
No.
very good friend, so she gets to say it too. Yeah.
Jeff, I'm kind of between somewhere between you and Bob Beach on this, and I won't do any spoilers because I felt like the second season started out good, and then it kind of I kind of lost some of it along the way in pieces, and then it got good again, and so I'm anxious to see what they do with it to wrap it up before I personally pass judgment. But I don't feel like I have not been tempted at all to stop it. and just say this is a waste. So
I have a feeling that for you, Severance season two is much like the Silo season one was for me, where you're like, okay, there's some things that I'm finding really interesting, but at the same time, it's just not doing it for me, kind of thing. But then you get to the end of the season, and it's going to be like, oh my God, I want a new season, which is what happened with me with Silo. Like, I would not have continued watching, except Patrice, you cajoled me into continuing. And I did. And there were things that I really liked about the season. But overall, I was like, if they forgot to air the rest of the episodes, I wouldn't be missing out on anything. But then we had the season one cliffhanger, and I swore at my television because I immediately wanted season two, which I loved. I thought season two was fracking amazing.
I agree.
You all have been so gentle with talking about seasons. This is where I am. I'm stuck in season one of Severance. I'm about eight shows into it. So I have yet to finish season one and then head to season two. So I'm curious now. Loved Silo. Could not get enough of Silo. And the ending of season one said, yeah, just like Jeff said, I can't wait for season two. Have not started season two yet. And then Ted Lasso, I got through season two and got into a couple of shows of season three and went, eh. So I have a lot of catch up to do.
You do.
Yeah, I do too.
Thank you,
I
Marty,
haven't
for making
started.
me feel better about my television watching habits.
I haven't even started Severance season two yet, so I've got to get going.
You're so behind, all of you.
I am.
Wow. Well,
There's so much good stuff out there right
there's so
now.
much good
True.
shows.
That is true.
On
Just
Apple TV and off
Yeah,
that,
agree.
There are only so many hours in the day that I can dedicate to TV watching, and those seem to be getting fewer and fewer. So, but I think the thing
I
is
think
you got to be more selective. You have to be selective in what you're watching, and all the shows we've mentioned here are worth, if nothing else, at least your consideration.
I mean, having ADHD and needing shows to be able to focus on work actually helps with this. Just saying.
I have a sister who got her first subscription to Apple TV, I don't know, 2, 3 years ago, and it was you get 3 months free. And I thought, oh, okay, a little ass 3 months, because she was like streaming aversive with everything. And she has not given up her subscription to Apple TV and is always finding something new. So we're constantly in communication. You got to try this. And then but there's so much material there, and it's so well done that it's really challenging.
And there's constant, as you said, there's constantly something new and interesting.
All
Prime
right.
Target, just recently, I really liked it.
I
That's
haven't
on my
started
list.
that yet. But to be fair, I still need to finish Ted Lasso,
You need to
and
finish every
there's one more episode of
Stargate
Severance. There's multiple
SG-1. A
seasons
long
of
way to go on
Stargate
that
SG-1.
one.
Yeah, exactly.
Silo?
Shadow.
Jeffrey, you caught up on Silo?
Oh yeah, I did watch all of Silo.
Okay.
Yeah.
S second season, Jeff?
Second season.
That
Really
yeah.
good for you. Okay.
Yeah. I started watching Silo season two as soon as the episodes came out. And that first episode of season two, I felt like the first 15 minutes of that episode, but certainly the entire episode, was better than all of season one combined.
I think you mentioned
Wow.
that, yes.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people that were like, holy crap, I can't believe how slow season two went, and it was too much backstory, and then all this other stuff. And I'm like, just if they had given me season two to begin with all of season one basically condensed down into highlights for a first episode, I mean, it wouldn't have worked because you do need all that stuff. But holy crap, season two was yeah. really, really
and,
good.
And I keep teasing it. I mean, I don't know which direction they're taking, but I think the story is just getting started.
I have a feeling you're right. Yeah, with the way season two ends, mm-hmm. I feel like what we just had was a two-season prelude to the big stuff.
Yes.
Yep. Hey, it's time for us to wrap up, so we should do that. Wow, this has been so much fun. And Marty, it's been so cool that you have been with us through Very this cool. episode. And I hope the timing works out that you can join in more.
Yeah, the great thing is I have a flexible schedule. I can shift things around, and this time works pretty well. So
nice.
Awesome. Well, then Marty, why don't you tell people where they can find you, please?
You can find me, connect with me at Gencius, Jencius, at mastodon.social, or also at Blue Sky, the same last name there. You want to find out about shows, go to the podtalk.net and you'll see the podcast that I'm involved in. Primarily the big one is Vision Profiles, which is where Patrice and I have connected around the Vision mm-hmm. Pro, but that's weekly, done with Eric Bolden, and we scrape the news for what's happened during the week and then throw some apps in at the end. Also doing the Old Mac Gang on Wednesday, 65 plus users, age plus users, where we talk about issues with that. You'll find me Tuesdays with Chuck on Mac Voices and Thursdays with David on In Touch with iOS. And I'm appreciative of those connections too. It's great being here.
It's great to have you here. So thank you for being a brave little toaster or a fool, your choice, in joining us. Yeah.
When does the hazing begin?
It already started.
You just don't know. When does it end? So far, I haven't found an end yet. I'm continually hazed.
I've been doing that for over 10 years.
No, wait. I'm really confused. Anyhow, Dave, where can people find you?
You could find me at In Touch with iOS at intouchwithios.com. The YouTube channel is youtube.com/intouchwithios. I'm here on Fridays on Mac Voices Live on Tuesdays. And I'm on social media at Blue Sky, Mastodon, most places, DaveG65. Thank you.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. And Chuck, how about you?
You can find me on the rail at pretty much any hard rock heavy metal concert that comes to town. Other than that, you can find me at macvoices.com, where we have a lot of fun talking to a lot of people in the industry. We do Mac Voices Live, as has been mentioned here, Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern at youtube.com/macvoicesTV with everyone here now, including Marty and Patrice when she decides to stay up late. And on all the socials, you can find me as at Chuck Joyner.
Okay, awesome. And Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, actually going to fly on Sunday if the weather sticks. No, I'm here every week on the British Tech Network, Big Show and Mac Show, Thursdays and Fridays. Everything I'm doing, projects, podcasts, social medias, all of that on my website, thepatrice.com, takes you there. And since we mentioned it already a million times, Retro Rewatch with Jeff, we're rewatching Stargate SG-1. I have to publish the next episode or edit that today at some point, so it should be out shortly. I hope last 2 weeks I forgot and did it on a weekend somewhere. It should be, if I could remember which one is coming up, it should be Family, right? Yeah, Family is the next one. So we're going to learn some stuff about Family on Tulak.
I remember that episode.
Good.
Yeah. All right. Okay, so for me, on the social medias, JGamut everywhere, and I'm posting mostly now on Mastodon, PixelFed, and some on Blue Sky. And then for shows, Chuck lets me join in on Mac Voices Live. Dave lets me join in Touch with iOS here on the British Tech Network for the Big Show on Thursdays, Mac Show on Fridays, Brian Chaffin and I do the Context Machine, and as Patrice has pointed out, we do Retro Rewatch. So I am, for the first time, watching Stargate SG-1, you know, a 27-year-old show. Hey, at least I'm finally watching, right?
Yes.
And I'm enjoying it. All right, so with that, it's time to wrap up. Thank you again to all of you for just being so awesome and just putting a smile on my face on this Friday morning. You rock, and I'm glad we all get to spend time together. Everyone that's watching, listening live, participating in the live chat, thank you for being here as well and being part of the show. And everyone that watches and listens to the show recordings later, thank you for being part of this as well. Hey, Ewan, thank you for being you. Muller, thank you for making sure we have people for shows. And with that, hey, everyone, don't forget to join us next Thursday for the big show. Come back again on Friday for the Max show. And all of you, have an awesome weekend.